Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Welcome to the Southsiders podcast with myself, Gabe Ramirez, and filling in for Shane Reardon today. We got our producer extraordinaire, Tyler Buterball. What up, Tyler?
What's going on, Gabe? How you doing?
You know, I know you're a Cub fan, so it breaks your heart to get over here. But, you know, on a Chicago Bear Monday, when the city has come together, I think it's okay for you and I to chop it up about some baseball.
Yeah, we could talk a little baseball, even though, I mean, it was a great Bears win, but
listen,
we got to talk about
the every podcast. I don't care what your podcast is about this week. If you're not talking about the Bears at some point in your podcast, then are you really even a Chicago podcast if you're not mentioning the Bears? It was a great game, though.
Dude, that was.
We almost won some money.
Dude, I wasn't fully paying attention to the first half just because I was working. Sure. My other job, but then I saw your text, and then that was obviously right after I saw Pettis got the touchdown. I'm like, oh, let's go.
Dude, what's crazy was that when I made that bet, Dante Pettis to score a touchdown at any time was like plus 800. So like that was what I felt the most secure about, because in gambling, it's like, again, whatever you envision, the rest of the world is envisioning, and more often than not, it doesn't happen, right? Because if you're making money on what you envision, then everyone will be a millionaire, right? So it has to be that obscure bet, that thing that's going to be, you know, the one that people aren't thinking about. And Dante Pettis, I said it on the show when you were producing it, said he's a guy that can really get in the end zone. Justin Fields likes him, and it was a phenomenal play. But unfortunately, the rest of our stuff didn't hit. Elijah Mitchell didn't get in. David Montgomery didn't get in. I guess I expected a little too many points on a rainy day in Chicago. But nonetheless, Bears win, feeling good, can't wait till next week. And the good feelings have been happening around the city, not only at Soldier Field, but also at Comiskey Park, man. The White Sox sitting 2.5 games out of first place behind the Cleveland Indians after what some would say was a very, very impressive extended weekend in Oakland, White Sox winning 3 out of 4. I know you were working a lot. I know you didn't pay attention to this much, so I'll ask you more general questions. The Oakland A's have been a thorn in the side of the Chicago White Sox. So what would you say about a White Sox team that came in on the road and took 3 out of 4 against the A's?
I mean, I still take that as a huge series win, despite the A's are not been doing that great this year. And then the biggest take from seeing this series was that Elvis Andrus is playing his ass off.
Yeah.
And he's been coming in huge for the Sox while TA has been out. And so, I mean, once TA gets back, if they don't keep him in that starting rotation, that starting lineup, that's just going to be absolute asinine.
Yeah, it was a little revenge weekend. Obviously, Elvis Andrus played for the A's earlier in the season. But, you know, when you're talking about his 4-game stretch on Thursday, he was 2 for 5. Friday, 2 for 5. Wait, no, let's even go back a little bit more. Thursday, 2 for 5, 3 runs, 2 RBIs with a homer. I think it's important to mention the entire stat line there. Then when you're talking about Friday's game, 2 for 5, 2 RBIs with a beautiful double, a crucial double just to extend the lead there. And then on Saturday, 2 for 5, 2 runs, 3 RBIs with that home run. And then, of course, yesterday, which he went 0 for 3. But don't you feel like it's so hard to sweep a team? You know what I mean? One, you got different pitchers. And it's like these guys are grown men that have pride, right?
Well, yeah, and especially since it was a four-game series, that's a long stretch on the road. And so, I mean, that, yeah, I mean, that is, like, to me, like, damn near impossible to make a sweep. Like, you're starting, you're good, like, your go-to starting guys are already, have already pitched. And so you're kind of at that last game, you're just kind of using whoever you have left.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, hoping for a win, but it's like, if you don't, you still won the series. So, I mean,
And the other thing is this, right? You can't put up 10 runs every game. It's just not going to happen, right? You can hope for it. You can want it, but you can't. And in the final outing on Sunday, Johnny Cueto, man, it's like, isn't it funny how a guy can pitch so well, and even if he has a shit game, that one off, that outlier, you don't care. You're just like, yeah, bro, you get a pass. Like, you can have a bad game. It's, matter of fact, you have 2-3 bad games. Maybe not towards the end of the season, but, you know, in accumulation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I honestly nearly forgot that Cueto was on the mound in yesterday's game, and you wouldn't have thought of it because he's been pitching so good. But it's just like, I mean, you guys still won the first three. So it's like, I just don't, you don't even think anything of it. Like, just like you said, and it's like, you just kind of brush it off. You're like, yeah, it's okay, Johnny. You can take an off day.
And he's had some amazing quality starts as of late. But, of course, Sunday in the bottom of the fifth, you know, took its toll. I mean, he held the A's to one run leading up to that fifth, which is a damning inning. But, you know, I love the fact that, you know, he was able to fight through it, right? Cody Thomas gets on with a single. Then Christian Pache gets another single. Sacrifice to try to take the lead, and you know, it's good baseball, right? Tony Kemp hits the single to bring in the two runs, and then they just continue to pile them on. You would have liked Miguel Cairo to take him out a little bit earlier, but you know what? He's been battling all season long. I mean, this is exactly what Johnny Cueto does, right? He goes deep into games, he gets himself into some situations, but he could pitch his way out. And again, I don't think anyone is upset at what they've seen so far from Johnny Cueto. And again, 3 out of 4, winning 4 out of your last 5, taking 5 out of your last 7 from Seattle and Oakland. I mean, it just says a lot. And what do you think? I mean, obviously, I love hearing your perspective on this because you're the Northside fan here. When TA comes back, what do you think the plan of action should be when it comes to the carousel that will be the Chicago White Sox infield?
I mean, I think once TA comes back, I mean, Andres has been killing it at shortstop. And so I remember you guys were talking about that. You said in last episode that you think that TA would be okay with moving at second and keeping Andres at.
I would want that to be the case, right? Where you're a teammate and you're watching this guy perform well, and then you say to yourself, "Shit, if I can come in at second base, like, we're really gonna be fucking teams up." Like, that's the kind of mentality that I want him to have. But I also want him, which is what Shane said in the last episode, I also want him to have that dog mentality, like, "Nah, I'm coming back, and you know what I'm saying, I'm playing short, move him over, and we're going to fuck people up with this specific one."
He seems like a total, like, team first kind of guy. He doesn't seem like a selfish guy. So I think, like, he'll, whatever that's going to put the team in the best position, that I think they'll make the adjustments and put them where they need to be. But I mean, it's kind of harder to take Andres out of shortstop when he's been killing it over there, not only offensively, but defensively. So, I mean, that's going to be an interesting move on the White Sox on Cairo. I mean, assuming that he's still going to be managing at that time. But I mean, I think having Andres at the short and then putting TA at the second, I think that's going to be stellar.
I mean, that's nasty. I mean, you know, he has a good glove. I think it also takes some pressure away from Tim Anderson. Right. I think sometime at the beginning of the season, he felt it, right? He had a ton of errors to start the year off, and people were kind of coming down on him, and he was, you know, giving excuses, saying, "Hey, man, I'm still learning the position. I'm still, you know, getting my reps out here." And if he were to go over to second, not for the long run, right? He's still our shortstop of the future. He will be there in that position. But in the short term, to take some pressure off of him defensively and allow Elvis Andrus to still be that leader in the infield. You've seen it. He got Moncada smiling. He got Moncada dancing at third base. You know, you got Romy Gonzalez, a rookie. He instilling some confidence in him, right? Being that guy that he can pair with in the middle infield. And of course, Jose Abreu, you know, he's a fun guy. So when he has somebody else to bounce that joviality off of, I don't even know if that's a word, but that sounded good.
I'll put it in the vocab.
Yeah, right. If he can have someone to bounce that off of, I mean, obviously it does well for the team. So it'll be interesting to see where Tim Anderson comes in. Now, Bob Nightingale tweeted out yesterday that the Chicago White Sox all-star shortstop Tim Anderson is scheduled to see a hand specialist Tuesday, tomorrow, which should determine when or if he can return this season. I thought it was all but a certainty that he would return this season, unfortunately.
That's what I thought last time I heard about it. Now it's just straight up questionable. We don't know what could happen
at all. So, I mean, they've got to determine whether or not he'll even be able to return this season. Obviously, Tim Anderson originally injured on August 7th, got that torn ligament in his left hand. He's supposed to be out only 4 to 6 weeks, but it's like Lonzo Ball for the Bulls. Sometimes you just don't know how that's going to happen. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, your torn ligament on your left hand. I mean, that's your fielding glove, right? So if you're playing short, I mean, those balls are coming hot, you know, and obviously no issues with your throwing hand. But if you need to field and we need you out there, it's going to be tough. So, I mean, man.
I guess like in the time right now, because the Sox have a pretty like easy schedule remaining and they're catching fire and like they got this team under control, I would be a little less concerned now because of how the Sox are playing, you don't really need TA at the moment. But as long as they make sure that he's back for playoffs, knock on wood, Sox make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, that I feel like we should really start raising concern.
I mean, listen, if the Sox can get to the playoffs and he's there, obviously that's going to be a huge, huge lift for the Chicago White Sox. Now, are you a big World Baseball Classic guy, Tyler?
I mean, I'll tune into it if I see it, but okay. I mean, I'm not like,
well, you know, TA is going to be on that team. So it'll be, you know, his injury is going to affect that as well to see if, you know, he's going to be able to play with Team USA. But, you know, I mean, he's a gamer. I like that he's playing. I think it's always good when you get to play with guys that are, you know, all-star type level. Cause then it kind of, you know, it's like Zach LaVine. I keep bringing that every time I talk about basketball. Zach LaVine, when he went to go play with Team USA, right? When you're in the same room in the same court as Kevin Durant, some of the best players in the world, and you get to see their work ethic, you get to see how they perform, you get to see how serious they take the game, and that rubs off on you, which then in turn rubs off on your teammates because they get to see that level as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with TA. Hopefully he can get back, and hopefully Miguel Cairo can continue to make some great decisions. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the Southsiders podcast. You should download the Odyssey app. Make sure you hit your reminder so that you can find out when new episodes pop out with myself, Shane Reardon, and of course, Tyler Buterbaugh.